Hey, everybody. It's another, I guess, intro before the intro, if we even have an intro.
Casual Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. So we did an episode already that we said, hey, it's our last show of the year.
Yeah.
Well, that's in there because I fucked things up a little bit. Well,
no,
I fucked things up
fuck
and my
up.
Brother was running late a little bit.
Let's blame everything on Ryan. I like that.
I told Ryan I need this at least to you by Tuesday when I needed it actually by Sunday. So this episode was supposed to be Monday's episode. So that's why those episodes are switched. Normally, this would be Cutting Room Floor 2015.
And it's not?
Well, because the two things I want to include in it, unless it comes up being a lot shorter,
yeah,
which I may do a put together the Cutting Room Floor for Patreon or something later, but Ryan had a project he wanted to do where, I mean, this year he got really into Tadpog, which is the only thing I've ever done that he's ever cared about. So that's nice. Where he was, because he has that 2-hour commute to work and 2 hours back. So he listens to us. He's almost caught up like 270 episodes.
Damn.
Since he's gone to work.
Yeah.
So, and he's listening down. So, like, we're just getting shittier, but
right.
He's still on board, so it's okay. Well, he started, like, every time there was something funny, he would pause it around the episode and the time. So, what he has is a huge supercut of mostly 2015. But
super
like,
goofs.
Super goofs. Yeah,
goof
our
cut.
Super goofs. So, what this really is all like, right. Basically, best of Tadpog 2015.
And if that's not actually what you hear, it's Ryan's fault.
Yep. And as well, we have one other thing. Like, I really wanted to include this somewhere. I didn't know where to put it. I figured this is the good episode for it because Miller and Taryn got really... Well, they've been talking how they need to do their own podcast about strip clubs.
Right.
Forever.
And I named it Pole Position, and I don't get credit for it. It's fine, guys.
No.
It's okay. All right, it's fine if you want to pretend like you came up with it yourself. Not a big deal.
So they've been joking about that forever, and then they... When last time Taryn was in town, they got really drunk. And as opposed to like what they should have done is like come into the studio
here.
And record it. Oh, no. They chose to leave it, call in with voicemail telling stories. So there are 5 3-minute stories that I'm going to splice together for the first episode of Pole Position.
All right.
That I don't know if that's going to be first or after Ryan Supercut.
It's drunk logic.
Yeah. Or I'll just spurse it in between. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
That'll be what you cut between the super goofs.
So that's what this episode is. So I guess it's sort of our clip show.
Yeah, which I don't normally like clip shows, but I honestly think last year's Cutting Room Floor was good. I like that there's stuff that people haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Pole Position stuff is all new. Super goofs, I'm okay with super goofs. I personally am interested in listening to the episode because I want to see what Ryan thinks is the funniest. Yeah.
Because like he asked me for like some clips of moves and stuff like that on Christmas Day when we were at my parents' house.
Yeah.
So I give it to him and he has his headphones in and I just see him like everyone else is like quiet. Like I'm on my laptop, Meg's on her phone, Danielle, his wife, is on like her phone. My parents are playing with Ken in the other room. So it's pretty much quiet.
Yeah.
So there's Christmas going on in the background, and I just see Ryan, like, every now and then he's looking intently at the screen. Silent laugh, throws his head back, and chuckles, and then focuses in again. Moves his mouse, makes some clicks, then throws his head back, and, like, silently laughs again, and then zooms back in again. So I'm assuming it's pretty... It's
That's
at least
good.
Really funny to him.
That's got to be a good feeling to see your sibling act like that.
Yeah.
My sister does not like our show.
What?
She does not like it. She says that she really doesn't know what we're talking about 90% of the time. And when she does understand what we're talking about, does not find it funny.
What's a urethra? Oh, my God.
Did I tell you about the time? Did I tell you what Ian told my mom? Did I tell you this? This
no.
is a weird. This that's a weird thing to say, huh?
That's like that's the equivalent of like a teacher telling on you.
Ian, my sister's iPad broke, and Ian's repairs iPads. So I let her know that, and then because my sister's an adult, she had my mom bring it to him. And so
I don't know what Dave's weird friend is gonna do to my iPad.
So my mom brought the iPad to Ian, and Ian mentioned, he's like, oh, I just saw Dave. We recorded Tadpog a couple nights ago. And my mom, I assume, was like, oh, I've heard of that thing. And Ian was like, don't listen to it, but you should know you should be proud of your son. That's a very nice thing for Ian
that
to
is,
say.
That is a very nice thing. And a very, like, a very guarded thing. That's good.
I know. I like
Don't
it.
Listen, but you should be proud. I'm like, if I can't listen, then why should I be proud?
My mom asked me a lot of questions when she, next time she saw me. She's like, I saw Ian. He said that I shouldn't listen to your show. And I was like, he is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. You should not listen to my
Ian
show.
Ian is the only person I would classify as an adult that likes our show. All the other adults I know have, like Jacob's mom for once. No.
Disgusting.
Is that what she said? I love Jacob's mom and we get along very well. Yeah, she straight up called it disgusting. Well, also to Jacob's dad. Jacob's dad,
yes,
also an adult.
Jacob's dad's pretty
Tim
cool
does
about
like
it.
The show. So yeah. I apologize, Tim. You're probably in your office going, what the fuck?
I hope he is. I hope he was very offended by that statement. That means he's a super fan.
Yeah, it's true. Man, I'm so ready for you to retire, Tim, so you can come on this show and we'll play a basketball game, and it's going to be awesome.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. Get Jacob and Tim on.
Yeah.
Talk about...
Oh, no. Just us and Tim. It'll be fine. I've spent a cumulative, like, 2 hours with him.
Yeah. So. I've never met him. I think that would be perfect. I love that you assumed Jacob would be there and I did not.
Because most of my experience with Tim is when he would come into the room and like reprimand us for something or tell us like we're being stupid or being too loud or
stop being criminals.
Yeah. Where'd this cheese come from? I'm gonna fucking put your boys at. Oh man. But yeah, so this rest of this episode, enjoy bits from all of this year, probably a little bit of last. So
yeah.
Yeah, plus pole position.
And yes, which I know, here's how I know that they were super drunk is when you asked me for the audio files from Google Voice, you said it should be about 30 minutes. I was like, no, we've got about 15 here.
I don't know how long that thing fucking was. Because Taryn called me the next day like, man, Taryn is a drinker. Taryn can fucking... put it back. So she called me saying like, fuck, I'm hungover. I was like, all right, you guys got fucking drunk then. For her and Miller both, who are like,
say,
they are seasoned veterans.
Yeah. So I was about to say she can't hang with hashtag more Miller.
I mean, he was hammering it back on our Patreon in a Pinch episode.
Yeah.
So that was, it's
that
good.
Was fun.
It was fun. It was fun.
Man, people really liked our year in review episode. I know we're trying to close this out.
I don't know how long Ryan's thing is going to be, so we may as well just keep talking for a little while.
So I'm really glad that was well received because I thought, first of all, I don't remember anything on that episode, like not a fucking thing other than people were asking about the hard cut at the end. And I was like, well, that's a secret.
Yeah, because I told you like as soon as we recorded it, like during the process, Jacob was like, oh, my God. So when I re-listened to it, I was like, okay, this flows – well enough. So, because I cut out a question. Like, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But it was questionable enough that I, like, oh, okay,
you're
I'm going to go ahead and cut this
caution.
Out. Yeah.
I get it. So. I get it. I do. I don't remember exactly what was said, but I do remember being horrified by whatever it was.
It was mostly John Turley. Like, we were approaching it at a decent angle because I was talking about my dad and what I expected my dad would have said.
Yeah.
And then John Turley started like, he had his own line of thought going on, separate of the conversation. So he decided to interject these random inappropriate words.
Yeah.
And then clarify, no, that would be like the search term for Google. Oh, that thing we talked about 40 minutes ago, John? Okay.
I mean, if you want to play the home game, here's what you do. Just pick a random episode of Tadpog, and while it's playing, just randomly yell out the name of a white supremacist. just see how many you can name.
It's a fun road game where everyone goes around clockwise in the car and names a white supremacist.
So yeah, I
it
think
depends
you made,
on how many times you've seen American History X and how far you can go.
I think you made the right call. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I think you made the right call. I don't even know if that, I don't know, could we keep that?
I saved it though, so I still have it.
In case he ever runs for office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was about, I cut about 9 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why there's that weird cut to like me ending the show and everybody else stifling laughter and like booze.
Well, I got asked why I was terrified at the end of the episode. I think Ruby Baron Paul Kluel of Loaded Cart Gaming Podcast fame. Wow, that's a mouthful. he had mentioned, man, Dave sounds like a whipped child. And that might have been Phil. Someone said I was a whipped child. And I remember, like, I don't remember exactly what was said other than, you know, John just spitballing.
Yep.
But I do remember that I was horrified. That probably is a good sign that you cut it, because I was horrified.
And I had to tell John, like, yeah. I censored out the things you said about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I'm all for insulting Donald Trump.
Sure.
But I coined out what you said. So
he got no dog in that fight. I get it.
It's like, I'm sorry, Rand Paul is not polling well, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Because we went out to eat today. We went out to lunch, and he was telling me, like, they're keeping Rand Paul down because he's got the solutions. He knows how to do it. And they're suppressing him. They're hiding him. I was like, well, I mean, maybe sorta, but also, like, look at the crazy person who's going to get us ratings. So I don't know if it's so much like, no, shh, quiet Rand Paul up in his genius ideas, or like, nope, we want more money. Point at the crazy guy.
I hope Donald Trump's a Democrat plant. I really do.
I told John, like, I do think that is a possibility, yeah. Because like 10 years ago, he was like, yeah, Bill Clinton, I'm with this guy. Yeah. Fuck whoever you want and be a liberal. Yeah, okay, cool.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sounded very earnest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, so you ready to get to it?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready. Ready to listen to this.
All right.
Supposed audio that we're receiving from Ryan.
Yeah, after this, it could just be like...
the moves?
Does he move for 40 minutes? Maybe I'll put in like little bits from like Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles, like random catchphrases in the moves.
Oh, theme song. I like that. Yeah. You get a mix.
Remixing.
I like that.
Mixing it up.
Do you have dreams of being a 16-bit DJ? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell. Perform at Dragon Con and stuff.
Sort of always. You remember my enthusiasm about my 8-bit Christmas music I had like 3 or 4 years ago?
Funny story about that. Funny story about that is I remember because we were driving back from Lexington. Miller had invited us to a thing there. Mm-hmm. And we were driving back and you said, hey, man, you want to listen to this 8-bit Christmas music? Not really. And I don't think you knew what a podcast was at that time, because I was like, there's this thing I want to play you called My Brother and Me. And you're like, nah, let's listen to this 8-bit Christmas music. I'm like, wait, it's these guys and they're brothers that are really funny. I'm pretty sure I want to listen to 8-bit Christmas music. All right.
Well, what is it? And you told somebody else, like, maybe we're going somewhere with Miller, and you told him, ask if Tyler has any 8-bit Christmas music. So in the car, he's like, man, I love Christmas music, but I wish there was some 8-bit Christmas music. And I was like, whoa, my moment.
That was the year.
I can be a hero.
That was the year of 8-bit Christmas music. You were crazy about it. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I'll always remember
by
that.
By Rush Coil. So there you go. That iPod has since been formatted, but I remember.
Nice.
All right, so here we go. Here's the entire Rush Coil 8-bit Christmas music album. I'm not asking them for permission.
No,
I'm assuming
don't.
No
Fuck
one
it.
Likes it but me. So at very least, I'll get their attention and yeah. We can talk.
Maybe convince them to do, I don't know, some other holidays.
Do you guys have any Thanksgiving music? You and Adam Sandler are going to have like all the Hanukkah songs.
Oh, my Netflix is all fucked up now. Because my dad came in for Christmas and watched The Ridiculous Six on my Netflix account. So
what is that?
I think it's called The Ridiculous Six. It's the Adam Sandler Netflix exclusive movie where, yeah.
Ooh. It's like, are they already making like spoofs of Hateful Eight? Is that?
It's a pre-spoof. Yeah, it's okay. A pre-spoof. Phil was telling me that I think they had like 6 Native American people on the crew to let them know if it was offensive.
Oh, I remember.
Like,
okay, I remember reading about this.
They all walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's so that's pretty cool. In between him fucking up my Netflix queue and, man.
And your childhood.
Nah, let's not be too mean to him. But yeah, seriously. He paid me back.
I can't get off unless I'm being yelled at.
He paid me back though, because he was really cracking up to the Jeff Dunham, and that was payment enough just to watch somebody laugh so hard at Jeff Dunham.
Well, hearing like, because my dad was pretty stoic growing up, but so hearing like a figure you're not used to laughing, like sincere, deep belly laughter.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It's weird. Like, it's a weird experience.
My dad watching Borat, like, that was, Borat is my dad's Jeff Dunham. So, like, watching my dad, like, uncontrollably laugh in front of my mom and stuff. Like, normally he wouldn't even like acknowledge that he thinks that stuff is funny in front of my mom.
Well, laughing is weakness.
Yeah, I know. So,
I mean, come on. We get it.
It's true. Okay. That's about 16 minutes. That's a normal intro length.
Sweet. So there you go.
So here's whatever we came up with for the last show of the year.
Seriously, love you.
This is the last one.
It is.
And we love all of you. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hi, you're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of Dave game talk,
but
also copious amounts of immature,
crude,
and offensive immature speech.
So
just to let you know what you're in for.
So, if you are a rather sensitive
humor constitution, we're just about to let you know what you're in for. It has games.
It has jokes.
It has jokes. It has, you know.
Just games.
And jokes.
So.
Yeah.
I think we both fucked it up.
I think we fucked it up pretty bad. Just to let you know, we're games and jokes. It has games and jokes.
Oh, man.
But just to let you know what you're in for.
Have a good time.
And welcome to Tadpog.
Okay, it moves.
Welcome to Pole Position. This is your host, Karen Landon, along with
your host, Sean Miller, talking about all the news and things that are fit to print in stripper news today and tomorrow.
Welcome to Pole Position, guys. Listen, here's what we found out so far. Murray, Kentucky has no strip clubs.
No, we had the Galaxy Cabaret down just a little south of town in Perrier, but boy, they closed down quick. And now I'm pretty sure it's a Joanne Fabric. I'm not really sure. But anyway.
Joanne Fabric's got the prices, though.
We're still talking strippers. We got Brad Gallimore here with us, just hanging out.
Yeah, we do.
You know, it's a good time, but we got plenty of stripper stories to tell you. So, Karen,
yes.
Tell me. You're living in Houston now.
I live in Houston.
Originally from the area, but you're down in Texas. You are a Texas. What do they call it?
I'm a transplant.
Let me tell you what I think about Houston, Texas.
So, the strip clubs in Houston, Texas, they are really hot. There's a couple of them. One's called the Men's Club of Houston, and one is called V Live. If you've ever listened to a Drake rap song.
As in Hotline Bling. The Bling.
He goes to mention a lot about hanging out at V Live, dropping a check at V Live. He says that a lot.
Well, yeah, he's got to drop it.
He can drop a check at V Live. And let me just tell you, I've been to V Live.
You've been to V Live?
I've been to V Live.
No lie.
And no lie. Uh-huh. And let me just go ahead and let you know that old Drake can drop a check there. Because there are some hot bitches. 10+. 10+.
Well, when you're Drake, you've got to make it rain. I mean, you've got to make it rain.
You can't roll in and not be drinking and make it live. I mean,
my God. That's just crazy talk. Now, tell me, you've got a lot of variety there. Now, again, we have like two strip clubs within 100 miles of Murray. And one of them is a double wide trailer. And it has, instead of a stripper pole, it has more of a PVC pipe that is surrounded not by a velvet rope, but more of a police tape.
Oh.
So that's all we have to go by here. Now, that's
Let me just go ahead and tell you. Yeah. That's not how Houston operates.
Oh, no.
That's not how H-Town operates.
Oh, no.
Hey, we're going to have to continue this. One moment. We're on the 3 minute. We're on the 3 minute line.
We'll be back.
Fucking tadpole.
Pole position. And we're back once again with pole position with Sean Miller.
And Taryn Landon.
Talking about strip clubs all over the world.
Let me go ahead and tell you, Sean, about
World
my favorite
Wide
strip club.
Dog.
I want to tell you about my favorite strip club real quick.
Let's hear about it.
My favorite strip club ever was called, ooh, it was in Detroit. It was in Detroit, and it was called the Landing Strip.
The Landing Strip.
It was called the Landing Strip.
Double entendre.
Double entendre. Wah, wah, wah. If we were Aziz Ansari right now, we'd have a musical note for that.
Yes, we should.
I went to one called the Landing Strip. I also went to one called Flight Club, which was right next to the airport.
I don't know that double entendre.
The hottest bitch I've ever seen.
Really?
Hottest. She gave us like 700 lap dances. It
oh,
was beautiful.
Wow. That's.
It was beautiful.
That's great.
And she was as sexy as you can imagine.
I can imagine.
Yeah. What's your favorite strip club, Sean Miller?
It was called, what the hell is it? It's in Nashville. I can't remember the
Christy's?
Name of it. Christy's
Cabaret?
No, it was something Cabaret. But they always changed the name. And I remember going in there and I saw this girl and I was like, oh, she is
Stephanie's?
So... Stephanie's Cabaret.
Stephanie's Cabaret.
Stephanie's Cabaret. I went in there and I saw this girl.
I was like, I don't know strip clubs in Nashville.
Oh, you know strip clubs in Nashville.
Yeah.
But I went in there and this girl was so hot. And she looked a little bit elder to me.
Oh!
Like, I was young at the time.
Elder stripper.
But she was so hot. And I was like, I've got to get a light dance from this girl.
Yeah.
I got a light dance. And she was like, what's your name? And I'm like, Sean. She was like, oh, Sean, like Shaun of the Dead? That
like
movie?
Shaun of the Dead.
I love that movie. Me and my son watch it all the time. And I was like, how old's your son? She was like, oh, he's 17. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I'm still enjoying this, but I'm a little weirded out.
Okay.
I'm a little weirded out.
I'm going to tell you about the best light dance I ever got. It was by a stripper named July.
July,
like hot as the month, in the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas.
Not quite as hot as June, but...
Not no. hot as quite as June. She had the sexiest titties I've ever seen. The sexiest.
That's saying something.
Yep. And, you know, Mama worked at Hooters for 10 years.
Taryn knows some banging titties.
Mama knows some banging titties. And I used to be masturbatory gold, considered by some people that listen to Tadpog. So,
oh, yeah.
I know some titties. I know them. Okay, we're going to have to call him back. Look, it's almost 3 minutes.
Oh, man, we're calling
Fuck
back.
Your three-minute rule.
Pole position is back with Sean Miller and...
Taryn Landon.
Taryn Landon is talking about some of the best titties she's ever seen in the strip club.
We're coming from you live at the Big Apple in Murray, Kentucky. Big Apple Cafe. Let me tell you, I've already seen some hot titties here tonight. Some hot, hot titties.
Oh,
bitches.
Some good ones.
They may have had some babies, but there's some hot titties in here.
Yeah, you guarantee they have.
They've had some babies. It is Western Kentucky. But let me go ahead and tell you about the wildest titties I've ever seen. And I kind of started it on the last text, but it was July in the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas. And she was the sexiest beast I have ever seen. She gave us probably 5 to 10 lap dances. I was with a friend that worked for the Phoenix Sun, so he had the drove.
Oh, boy.
And we had a great time. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you about my second favorite strip club, which is the Flight Club in Detroit, which we just talked about a little bit.
Detroit
has some banging titties.
Of
Rock
course.
City. What's your favorite strip club, Sean?
I think I already answered that.
I think you did.
It was Stephanie's Cabaret. But
it's gone now.
But I went to all, that's the thing is all the ones I've been to are gone now because they were all gross. I've got a lot of stripper stories, but they're all so gross. I went to one down in Paris, Tennessee.
Oh!
And there was a girl that had no teeth. No teeth.
I have also seen a 9-month pregnant stripper in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
9 months.
A friend of mine went to one in Paducah, and the girl walked in and was like, man, my titties be hurting. And he was like, what's the problem? She's like, I be lactating. And he was like, no, not really. No, I mean, that's stupid. She was like, oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Squeeze your titty right.
Oh.
Milk. Lemonade.
What's your favorite strip club trick you've seen?
Oh, probably the beer bottle trick where they take a beer bottle, empty it out, fill it full of water, pull it in their thing, and then spit it back out at you. Yeah, saw that one time.
My favorite trick was the paper football trick, where she shot a ping pong ball out of her vagina and hit it through a paper football.
My goodness, you see some crazy stuff.
I love strip clubs.
Well, yes, apparently.
We're going to have to call you back again, Ted Pog. Right. Almost 3 minutes. Hold on.
All right. Oh. And we're back with Pole Position, starring Sean Miller.
And Taryn Landon.
Still talking about strip clubs, because, hey, that's what we do, man. That's our thing.
I just want to go ahead and let you guys know that we're going to take over Ted Pog. This is our show now. So fuck what you heard about video games.
Yeah. Tyler and Dave can just play with each other, because this is us now.
Yep.
It's me, Taryn.
Yep. And we're outside of the Big Apple in Murray, Kentucky.
Yeah. You hear a lot of stuff going on behind us.
Yep.
There's a big party going on.
Big party. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about the best lap dance I've ever got.
I thought we heard that story.
Did we?
You got more lap dances?
I love
lap
dances.
My God, Taryn. How many lap dances have you had?
Thousands. One of my best lap dances I ever got was also in Detroit. At the Flight Club.
Uh-huh.
And she was as sexy as a beast. I mean, just, whoo. She had on librarian glasses.
Oh, that's great.
She looked like she had ate that day, so that's a plus for me.
That's lovely.
And her
titties
were not fake.
Oh, boy.
And she shoved them right in my eyelids. Right in them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nipples in the eyelids.
Like, her nipples took your eyelids and brought them down across your eyeball.
100%, yes.
That's great.
100%. Yes. I just love a good lap dance. You?
Well, of course. I mean, I don't get that many because I'm married now and I got, well, frankly, all I've got is my memories at this point. But,
Yeah. Well, I'm not married and I go get lap dances all the time. I'll tell you, my favorite club in Houston is the men's club.
The men's club.
TMC.
Yeah.
They got some sexy bitches.
Don't they have, like, men's dance clubs there where you can go get a
dong?
They
do, but I don't want a dong. I want titties.
You don't want a dong in your
face? Yeah, I want titties.
I feel like I'm being told a lie right now.
I'd much rather have titties.
Taryn doesn't enjoy a dong in her face.
I love dong in my face, but not when I'm paying for it.
Okay, news, everybody. We got news coming towards you. Taryn does not appreciate dong in her face
as much as
she appreciates titties in her face.
Not even, I love titties. More than you know. Let's close this out. How should we close this out, Sean Miller? Tropical Capricorn.
Yeah. Let's do Tropical Capricorn as if we've got titties in our face.
Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Tropical Capricorn.
Hey, boo.
What? Suck my dick.
Ursher. This is the kind of music the band actually. This brand of soda was created in Nazi Germany when trade embargoes made it impossible to make Coke.
Well, I mean, we all know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it, but we all know. It was made in Nazi Germany?
Uh-huh. It was created in Nazi Germany.
Is this still around?
Yep.
How do they make a kosher version of this? hate juice?
It's pretty close.
Fanta.
Fanta is correct. Yep. Fanta is Nazi Coke.
Oh, God. Whew. Jesus.
You picked up your phone like, I'm going to text Nikki right now.
Right. All right. We got another call. This is from St. Zach. This is the next day. So let's, as the saga unfolds, let's check in on Zach and his level
Hopefully
of exhaustion.
Hopefully he hasn't slept and sounds like Skeletor.
Tadpog Nation, St. Zach here. I'm going to rant for a second.
Please. I hope it's about that guy who's talking in the background.
Dormitory or barracks since I got married, you know, in college. But why is it that 18, 19-year-olds, whenever they get out from under their parents' care, don't know how to interact with people? The shithead who is upstairs and like 5 rooms down has bought a massive fuck sound system, and I can hear the bass vibrations coming through my ceiling and my wall. By the way, since the last time I've called you, I've had a nap and I should be more functional, but I'm not. Anyway, I decided to been building up for this for a couple weeks and wanted to call and give people a laugh at my expense. Body grooming. I got to Korea and I didn't groom for like 3-4 months because, well, my wife's not here, so why the fuck bother? I'm not getting laid anyway. And I got a hold of something called Veet, because a friend of mine is very hairy and was like, this is the way to go. Veet is the way to go. So you're going to want to use that. But anyway, so I use this Veet.
Does it mean,
and it's like Nair.
Okay.
Except for more sensitive skin. So
it doesn't mean the show
bumps.
Veep.
No.
But I went from
Julie Dreyfus comes over and shaves you.
Hair on my chest a little bit and in the forest region around my balls. And
then, don't use it on your balls.
He lost them.
Around the hole.
Oh, boy.
Booty hole.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. The hair on his dick hole.
That was going to be my question. I mean, we just learned something disturbing about Zach. And that is he has dick hair. He has a...
Zach's dick looks like the trees from the from the Lorax. It's just a white pole with just like an orange fluff on the top.
On a spring day, you can blow on a tip and it just puffs like dandelions. I'd like to point out that Meg is rocking back and forth now with her face covered.
Everything's covered, so she looks like an anime horror character rocking back and forth with her face covered.
You're because it's funny, right? Okay, good. She moves her hands finally, and we can see a smile.
She's tears. Don't make me think about Zach's dick.
My belly hurts.
What's up, Internet? I am Dave, and I am your bespectacled host, and how can I make this Fallout related? Okay, I got an angle. You know how Fallout has weird ragdoll physics, and how when you shoot somebody, their body goes flying into a tangle of arms and legs, and then where they meet their final resting place, mm-hmm. where all their joints are at 90-degree angles?
Yeah, there's some weird glitches.
You know how it does that? Mm. So on the way over to Tyler's today... I passed two dead deer, and one of them...
I know what you're talking about.
You know where I'm going?
I saw it too.
I was driving, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Because it looked like... I didn't know it was a deer at first. There was this thing on the side of the road that just looked like... It just looked like a big trash bag full of elbows that someone threw out of the truck. And I was so like, I slowed down because I was like, what is this thing? And what I see is, I don't know what... happened to this deer. Mm-hmm. Something horrific happened to this deer because it was like legs were not bending where they were supposed to bend. Like obviously it had been like hit by a truck.
It looked
like
you got hit by a super mutant sledgehammer.
Nice.
There you go.
But there was one very interesting detail.
I saw this deer yesterday. This detail was not there yesterday.
Really?
This is the new thing today.
So that answers my question. Josh, so the deer's got a leg that's clearly snapped and gross. And like attached to this is a like happy birthday balloon.
did you check what the balloon said?
Oh, what did it say?
Get well. So someone tied a get well balloon to the dead deer.
Not only that, they stopped on the interstate to do it. So, I don't know.
Is that a dead deer? Man, get the balloon. Get the balloon out of the trunk. Our day has come, Clyde.
You got the helium? You know there's only a finite amount of that. We're running out pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
It was pretty gross.
I love talking to the big black dicks. I love big black dicks in my face. And around my nose and eye holes.
Stinger.
I want that to be a drop that we can just put in on any episode. Miller, what do you think about that?
It's like the fucking lever on Coda and the Walker.
I like big black dicks. Because it was silent enough that it could easily be tossed in. No background noise. Perfect.
And I had a whole bunch of options to choose from for my intro, but I'm glad that you mentioned Bill Amend and Foxtrot because it reminds me of one of my favorite memories from gaming with you, Tyler, in college was going over to your apartment, and it didn't matter what apartment you lived in at the time. there would always be like 15 Foxtrot books in the bathroom.
Yep.
And like yep. two of them would be on top of like the toilet tank, and then like 12 would be like on the floor surrounding the toilet. So like at any given time, there's just these urine-soaked Foxtrot books.
You're not lying.
Just because I remember one time taking a shit in your apartment, and I'm sitting there like, this is before smartphones, so it's like I'm not, you know, playing anything. I'm just kind of looking around. I'm like, man, all right, I'm going to read some of this Foxtrot. And I go to pick it up, and it was just soggy. And so I'm like, okay, not that one. And then so I'm like, surely one of the two on the toilet tank is going to be all right. So I reach back and grab it. I open it up, and it was like I opened up an envelope filled with pubic hair. It just fell out. And I just put it back. I was like, I guess I'm just going
to
shit.
I moved him from bathroom to bathroom for like 10 years. And granted, a lot of that is probably urine, but they also sit in the floor, so it's like spray from the shower,
a lot
and
of cum,
the toilet, and just semen, and yeah, it's just. And I ended up selling those books in a garage sale because, like, they were held together by masking tape.
Yeah,
because I kept them. I read them so much, and that's, just like, yeah,
that's the circle of life, though. Other people can piss on your books. Yeah.
I got a good $10 for my piss sheets. So this alien, like the Martians have evolved sharks in a corrupt way and they're oppressing the whales.
They put lasers on them.
What? Well, see, riding the sharks are tinier sharks that have guns. And you have to, as a mermaid, you have to go sneeze on them.
This game is fucking wrong. How is this game on the list? How is this game on the list? And in the fucking 40s.
It's literally, it is a bunch of crazy fucks in a room together saying shit, and people are like, we'll make that a game. We'll make that a game. There's sharks riding sharks, and they shoot guns, and they sneeze on this ham. It's nice.
I've had more believable fever dreams.
Once you sneeze on enough sharks finding guns, you make it, you kill like a bigger shark, like they're called like the Aromans or something like that. You kill their
the chief. Aromans.
You kill their chief shark and you go into the throne room, and very slowly a whale like comes out and thanks you, and then you turn back to mouse rat and go back and finish the game.
Isn't Mouse Rat a band
that's
name?
That's from Parks and Rec.
When you said Lion Rat earlier, yeah. It took everything I had not to say Mouse Rat.
He has to get in his scarecrow boat and go back to land.
But then once you get back on land, that's when you start fighting monkeys. You go into a monkey cave, and it's fucking bonkers because monkeys are grabbing stuff and throwing stuff, and you're chasing them.
Tyler cannot keep using these adjectives like, and that's when it gets bonkers. No. The ship has sailed.
You know? It went from I mean, that all shit was weird. Monkeys are bonkers. Monkeys get a whole different adjective.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm like completely fucking exhausted of this game. Are we near the end?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
After
I'm like really I'm
that, and we had like three desks crammed into this one room for the tech support department, which is me and two other guys, and then our bosses Jay and Jeff were in an adjoining room. There was a door for each of them, and they were in this other room, and we would play Quake Online while we were talking to customers. You know, walking through, clicking on things, dial up networking, go to this, but we're just. I'm just playing this whole time. So we just got so good at doing it. And we were playing this one time, and I will never forget this. We had a really intense game going, and I'm on the phone with a customer, and I've got the flag, and I'm running around the level trying to get back. It was capture the flag. That was our thing. And obviously the object is you've got the flag. You got to run back and touch. You've got the enemy flag. You've got to run back and touch your flag to score. And then the game round resets and you start over. Well, I'm running all over the place trying to get back to base, but I'm not fully engaged in this thing. And I'm talking to the customer. And Jeff, one of the owners, is playing in this game. And he is defending our flag and trying to keep them from taking our flag while I'm getting back to return it. And the guy would run into our base and grab the flag, and he'd kill him and touch the flag and put it back on the base. And this went on for like 10 minutes. Finally, he comes out. He kicks the door of his office open, and he walks up to me in full There was no muting. There was nothing. I know this customer heard this. He said, put that goddamn customer on hold and capture the fucking flag. And I was like, ma'am, could I put you on hold for just a minute? So I put him on hold and I captured the flag and... Oh,
I'm glad the precedent was set for the rest of the tenure you're working there.
Oh, it was wonderful. And this was my boss. This was the guy that owned the company. This is his lifeline, his world. And he tells me, just, I know what I'm paying you to do. And right now I'm paying you to capture the fucking flag. That's why those things stick with me. So that's why I like the things that I like, is those experiences like that that are good stories to tell.
He sent me a text message saying, well, apparently my mom has started listening to the show.
What?
She thinks it's okay, but really doesn't like your opening monologues. So I was like, I have a story about you, Josh. I thought about telling, but didn't. He's like, I know what you're talking about. Please tell it. That way she'll hear it and apologize to me. So... that's the story I have.
I know what you're going to tell, and I can't believe that we're actually going to do this. Okay. Yep.
All right. So I think I've stated before that Josh Nance was my friend that had Cinemax and HBO and things like that growing up. So everybody was sitting out at his house to masturbate. Tyler Dunnigan included. Like, everyone would just, like, a rotation stay at his house to masturbate in his room. Like, everybody else in the living room, and then people would take turns in his room masturbating to Cinemax.
This is like a fucked up teen movie. It's like missing all the girls.
Well, one time I had just gotten done masturbating in his room, and I have a handful of it.
Of what?
My ejaculate.
Oh, your jism.
My jism, thank you. And his room was directly across from his bathroom. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go wash this off my hand. So I walk out in the hall just in time for his mom to walk out of the room and walk down the hall. So I see her coming. I've got a handful.
Did she see you coming?
You know? And I'm just like, oh, fuck. So the only thing I can do is I just put my hand in my pocket real quick. That was awful. So I resolved not to do that again. I should have stopped masturbating at Josh's house, but I wasn't going to do that. I should have taken tissues in there with me, but I wasn't going to do that. So what I instead decided to do whenever I would finish in Josh's room, I would wipe it on his carpet.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, because I wouldn't have to. So I wouldn't have to.
You never wanted to go through the hallway again.
Yeah, I don't want to run to his mom. Sure, like, yeah, just have it like tissues or paper towels or something like that. Nope. I'm gonna go to either under his bed or to a corner of his room where no one goes and just rub it in the carpet. And I stayed at Josh's house every weekend for like 10 years. So I rubbed a lot into his carpet.
That's way too much jism for one carpet.
It was typically in the far corner of his room. He didn't have a nightstand. The bed was really close to the corner. No one ever walked back there. Well, it turns out like he called me pretty upset. He's like, well, man, my mom was cleaning my room, walked over to that corner, walked back out and said, Josh, I walked in the corner of your room. I know what you've been doing. I know what's there. Go in there and clean it up. And she made him go in there and watch him clean the carpet in that corner of the room.
God.
Good friend. Like, I've thrown my friends under the bus with shit like that. Josh, yeah, Gary. Josh did not. He just, like, solemnly, like, damn it, Tyler, I'm not going to tell my mom. And he just cleaned it up. So he's hoping she will hear this and apologize to him for making him clean up my spunk in his carpet.
The crunchy spots.
Yes. The very, 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 like, 90s gel Carson Daly stiff carpet that was in that corner.
Oh,
that would be pretty cool to prank call my wife. God,
I'm reasonably sure that his number is not in your phone book. But I have it because he put it in the Facebook group one time. We could call Phil Hawkins and prank call Phil Hawkins.
Let's do it. All right. What's the prank?
You sort of play the demon number, the demon noise?
I can't do it through my phone because I'm using my phone to call him. I tell you what, we could play it through, I mean, it's going to sound like complete dog shit to everybody listening, but we could play it through like the laptop or something like that.
I think that'd be pretty good.
All right.
Here's his phone number.
What, you don't want to read it out loud? So the whole internet can call him? And by whole internet, I mean like 1/300,000th of the internet. Well, I'm being generous.
So Tadpog Nation, he doesn't know that we're about to call him, but he's listening to us now making this call.
I mean, he's not a dumb guy. He's going to see 270 and be like, oh, it's Tadpog. There's no one else I know in fucking Kentucky.
Who's calling me and making clown demon noises? It's either Great Aunt Gertrude or Tadpog. And Great Aunt Gertrude's been dead for 2 years. That's sort of a riff on that Patton Oswalt. Well, who do you talk to pussy about?
I haven't heard that.
Great Aunt Mildred, but she's dead. So no one.
All right, the number's queued up. Are you ready? Do you think we'll make them cry?
Hopefully.
All right. You ready to scare them?
Assuming he gave me the right phone number in the first place. So let's see.
I'm just a random person. All right. So we're going to prank his. We're just going to leave a voicemail.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Wiley's birthday.
Hi there. This is Phil Hawkins. I appreciate your phone call, but unfortunately, I'm not around to take it at this moment. But if you could leave me a message with your name and your phone number and a good time to contact you, I'd be happy to return your phone call as soon as possible. You have a good day.
To leave a callback number, press 5. We did not get your message, either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1.
No.
To record your message, press 2.
Okay, 2. 2.
At the end of your message, press 1. We did not get your message, either because you were not speaking
playing.
Or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2. At the end of your message, press 1.
This is the next 45 minutes.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record.
I've never heard a voicemail
3,
do this before.
Recording where you left off.
He has break protection.
It's not loud enough. The iPad's not loud enough to pick it up.
Message review.
45 minutes.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
That's
to listen to your
Harry,
message,
that's it.
To send your message with normal delivery, press 1. To send. Thank you.
See,
your
break.
Message has been sent. Goodbye.
You done been pranked, Phil!
Oh, shit. Where'd my phone go?
Here it is.
See how much airtime we
burned up with that? Yeah.
Only the first 25 minutes of the show.
I kept my cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't crack up, Tyler. Except for the actual voicemail we left.
Break going in your 30s. And Googling Reddit, I just Googled Reddit, and then this story came up. Just after I'd read it and space, this story comes up. So,
Colby.
God.
I don't know. I don't know what that story is about. I haven't read that one.
You look it up and break your own heart. Okay, this one from an Ask Reddit thread. Stating, throwaway time, what's your secret that could literally ruin your life if it came out? So this was...
This sounds pretty tame.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was... it's a 3-year-old thread. The highest thread... Well, I don't know if it's even the highest, but 5,500 upvotes from user Linfect, which I'm sure is throwaway. Surely it's not his real account where people could find out who he is, but how should I read this, Dave?
It's a secret that could ruin your life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you read it as Maxwell Smart?
It's been a long time since I've actually seen. We'll see.
I think you could do it. I've got faith in you. If you don't know, if you need like refreshing, let me tell you, it's the exact same voice as Inspector Gadget. Like it is 100% the same.
Oh, so French Stewart. Yeah, I've seen Inspector Gadget 2.
Yeah.
French Stewart.
Yeah, just like French Stewart. just like the squinty guy.
American
from
sweetheart, French Stewart. Cousin died when we were both 17. There was a reception at his house just after the funeral. I went into his room and stole all the money that was there. Took all other valuables that his parents wouldn't realize were gone. No one knows I did this. They just assume he didn't have any money in his room, only loose change. I don't regret it, but I admit I did it. Also, my cum box. Then somebody replies, elaborate on this cum box,
please.
That was
it? That's all he felt? Like he's just fishing?
That's the first.
Also, my cum box. Just gonna throw that out there.
Well, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a shoebox. Or at least it was. And whenever I masturbate, I come into it. I've had it for 2 or 3 years now, so it has a fair amount of cum. It smells atrocious. And I tried to burn it up once. When I lit it on fire, it was too damp due to the cum. And it simply sizzled and didn't manage to actually light up. Turns out burning cum smells awful. So I had to spray it with deodorant body spray just to get the old smell of burnt cum away. It also has some drenched paper stuck to it. That's pretty much it. And there is a picture, and I will link the, we can link the picture in the show notes of the cum box if you really want to see it. Edit 2. A lot of people are asking me why. Well, I'm apparently a rather disturbed individual. But it just kind of happened. Bought new shoes, needed someplace to come, use the box. It just escalated from there. Kept using it each time, telling myself I would throw it out soon. Never did. 2 or 3 years later, I still have it. It wasn't planned or anything. It just happened. Edit 3. Fuck, this really exploded. 20,000 plus views of my cum box. Did not expect this. Edit 4. I often get PM'd about updates or the current status of the box, generally a few a week. So I might as well update this post for anyone linked here can find out more. Current status, I have created life. Mold has begun to grow in the box, and it's taken over a fair amount. It smells a bit worse, mainly due to the damper apartment, so it does not dry as fast. Hence the reason why the mold has begun. New picture. So we can link the new picture of the moldy cum box.
Hello, phone.
And that activated my voice search.
Phone, moldy cum box, go.
I will never be rid of my need for it. I hate and love the box, just as I hate and love myself. Also, what the fuck? 2.7 million views. Never could have expected this outcome.
That's it?
The cum box.
That's it?
Yep.
And then the cum box was actually a message from the chief.
Would you believe? And you're like, and yeah, it looks weird. It looks weird. Because he's a pretty decent photographer, so
he's got the lighting right.
Yeah, and he's got like zoomed in just right. He gets the cum box from all the right angles that you'd want to see the cum box at.
Man, I got really sick one time eating at hamburgers, and this is not like a slam on them. I guess kind of it is because I was eating.
If it was spoiled food, then it is on them. I'm just saying.
And I don't even have to say allegedly because this fucking happened.
Yeah.
I was eating a bag of fries and I love their fries.
Black fry.
And then black. Their the fries black are fry. Awesome. There was a black thing in the bag. It wasn't really even a fry. It was just a black thing. It was unidentifiable. Like I would need to put some wine in a goblet and swoop it with an owl's feather to determine what this what this black thing was that was in the bag. And I guess much like I said earlier, sometimes I will make a crappy decision just because I want to tell a story later.
This will probably make me sick.
Yeah.
There's a small chance this is how I get super.
Yeah, exactly. man, I ate that thing. And like I immediately regretted it. It's one of those where it's like when I bite down into it, it's like it has a texture that just shouldn't be in your mouth. Like it's like this texture should never be in your mouth is what my brain is saying.
Did you swallow it?
Well, yeah, I was committed. I chewed it once.
Good boy. Good boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd pet the back of your head, look you in the eye, and nod.
I mean, come on. You don't just like put something in your mouth and then not finish. So I immediately bit down on this thing, and it was just the texture and then immediate flavor of just, I don't know. Like,
this tastes like the periodic table.
The entire thing.
Like, that's
it
what
tastes like burning.
That's the fucked up thing about it. It's like, I don't have anything in my taste vocabulary to explain to you how this
is this umami? Umami is horrible.
I can't compare it to anything I've eaten. It was just horrible. And yes, I made the horrible decision to swallow this thing. Like I said, I was committed. And boy, did I get sick. I got real sick.
Like, was it immediate or was it like the next day?
It was like an hour later. Oh. So like, I remember like going back to work and being like, in that black thing in the bag, it wasn't such a big deal. And then like an hour later, I'm just like feverishly sweating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was just one of those where it's like, I have to go home because I made a very poor decision at lunch.
I mean, that's what happens when you eat a small bit of Cthulhu, I guess. That's
petrified tentacle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Indescribable taste.
Well, just hamburgers, lack of chicken tenders, and black things in their fries,
yeah,
notwithstanding. They do have some good fucking fries.
No, they have excellent
those
food.
Those crinkle fries are my jam. I can't get enough of them.
That black thing in the fry bag, that was so long ago, and I've totally gone back.
Good for you.
I'm not going to – check this out. Now, when I eat their bag of fries, like I am looking in the bag and I'm making sure, like, normally I, like, if a fry is a little burnt or something at a restaurant, it's like, eh, whatever. But now, like, if there's a like burnt fry in the fucking just hamburger's bag, it's like, no, I'm not even going to tempt fate on that one.
Let's see. Anybody else have any last minute comments? Anything?
Well, I don't know what we're like on time, but I do have another letter from John Turley.
Ooh. I think we should
please
read that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it quickly.
No, I mean, this is a special episode. It's the end of the 64
one,
list.
Yeah.
Listeners may remember that last week I read John's first letter to me. I wrote him back.
He had some concerns. In his first letter.
And I wrote him back. I don't remember what I said. He answered some of the questions here, so I'm going to have to elaborate a little bit. But here is John Turley's second letter.
Okay.
By the way, my reply to this letter has gone out, and I have informed him of what we did.
Oh, you mean giving his address out on the internet?
Yes.
Can you do me a favor?
Certainly.
Can you read this as a Civil War soldier?
Southern or Northern?
Your pick. Dealer's choice.
I'm not really good at...
No, that's perfect. That's like Tadpog gold.
No, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can.
Man, I wish I had like a box of chicken tenders right now that I could just like pull out and be like, are you sure you don't want to do that?
Hey, man. I'm going to try Deep Southern.
No, that would have been like the perfect lead-in for Civil War Soldier.
It was great to hear from you. Thanks for checking on Andy and the boys for me. I'm getting her letters now, and she is getting mine. Please let her know I'm getting hers for me, though. Which I forgot to do, by the way. Sorry, John. Thanks for letting me know about work. I actually miss it. I definitely miss the people. I want to try to drop by on Christmas Exodus and see everybody. I should be great. I should be graduated from basic by then and at AIT. Good God willing.
God, violin music.
God willing. So far, I have shot some belt-fed machine guns, thrown two hand grenades, and rappelled from a 40-foot tower. I have also grouped and zeroed my M4. Somehow the army has managed to make all of that stuff pretty boring.
We get a little bit of Morgan Freeman right now.
I'm not good at it.
No, that's better.
Yeah.
We did the gas chamber too. So I, to clarify, I asked. To clarify, I asked him if they did the thing where they.
From beyond.
I asked him if they did the thing where they put him in a room and tear gassed him. So they will put them in the room, not have a mask on, and throw tear gas into the room, and they have to sit there and suffer through it. And I asked him if he had done that. That's gas chamber, not not execution.
Not, not right. Okay.
It wasn't that bad, but it was pretty unpleasant. Shit burns.
I didn't realize how well John Turley's writing lends to Southern.
I am hoping that I might get my phone when I get to AIT, at least on weekends, but no guarantee. He makes some comments about work that I don't want to read because it's stuff, work stuff.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
I can't wait to hear some Tadpaw. Really looking forward to hearing your episodes. There is no music here. Only cadence is the drill sergeant's call out when Mark's.
Now I'm really feeling like you came back from the future, Dave.
Like, this is what I used it on. I had one wish. I was like, I would love to go back in time and ask Ian to read John Turley's letter as a Civil War soldier.
I'm fucking crying. Oh, fuck. There's more. Just let me get through this, okay? Oh, fuck. Only cadence is the drill sergeant's call out when marching. I miss it bad. Music. I can't wait to play some CS. So this is Counter-Strike. He and I play Counter-Strike together. We're going to tear some shit up. Tell Tanya I said hello. That's my wife. I mentioned, could I send him some porn? And for Tadpog Nation, you need to listen to this.
This pertains to
no,
you.
No, unfortunately, there is little you can send me outside of soap, detergent, toothpaste, and hygiene supplies. I'm good on all that stuff right now, but I sincerely appreciate the offer. Porn is strictly foreboding. And he spelled it prawn. Zero.
So God, he is pictures of Bailey fucking J sent directly to John Turley.
Oh, God, he is going to fucking kill me. I am so worn out all the time that I have essentially been on a one-month no-fap. I appreciate the letter more than you can possibly know. Any communication with the outside world is the best thing ever here. Please write me again, even if it is just about mundane bullshit. I don't care. I miss the Ian rants. I miss you a lot, man. Can't wait to see you again. Love you, brother. John.
I miss that time you showed me your dick and it was so big. You had the biggest damn dick I'd ever seen.
He did not have to put his last name on this letter, so apparently he remembered that I know who he is. Once again, I have to say, John, buddy, we miss you. We love you. Get home safe. We'll see you probably around Christmas. And hopefully he'll have a chance to listen to some of these episodes while he's still at basic. So he can get over being mad at me before he comes home.
Oh, I haven't written John back yet, but I do know that when I write the letter, I am going to do it in the tone of a Civil War soldier.
I'm going to listen to this tomorrow because I'm still into listening to these the next day. Fuck, I'm going to be so pissed that I did that.
It was a beautiful thing.
Good.
I'm so glad you decided to
do it. Well, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I put the disc in the Wii, and I was super frustrated because I've got an adapter. I've got a GameCube to Wiimote adapter, which allows me to play certain games wirelessly with the GameCube controller. But for GameCube games, you have to physically plug it into the port on the top of the Wii.
The very convenient port located on the top.
So I've got – I mean, it still worked out because I have like – for some reason, and that reason being long Naruto fighting nights with John Turley, I have like 20-foot extension cables for the GameCube.
See, because we had the TV pulled out of the wall, the couch pulled back from the wall.
No,
we had
the Wii
in the middle of the in the middle of the floor on a TV tray.
let's pretend our living room is 5x5.
I don't know how the fuck did we game before wireless controllers? It is a deal breaker for me now if I can't like be at least 25 feet away from the television.
You gotta sit crisscross applesauce 2 feet in front of the screen.
I used a beanbag chair. I had a beanbag chair that I pulled out, and that was what I played games in. So
I have not used a beanbag chair since I masturbated naked in one. And like, it wasn't one of those quick rub outs. Like, it was a long time, and it made me sweat.
Oh, no.
So like,
never sweat in a beanbag chair.
So
dude,
I got up, and I was like a parrot, like a Koopa Troopa, because like it clings all around me, and I get up, and I'm hunched over.
So there I am with cum on my belly. Da-da-da-da-da-da. What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I am your bespectacled host, and God, I could not wait to tell you this story. I've been waiting several days.
Oh, man.
Several days to tell this story. You're going to learn a few things about me today. I want to go ahead and like, just get that right out there.
Meg's in the Dominican Republic right now. I sent her the info and the picture, and she was very, very amused.
All right, so you're going to learn a few things about me. First thing you're going to learn about me, you already know that I browse Reddit for porn. You know that that is the place I go for fresh jerking material.
Jim Norton thinks you should take it down a notch. That's
Jim Norton called the show. He said, hey, first of all, I've never heard of you fuckers. Secondly, you're going crazy. So I'm on Reddit pretty much like every day looking for porn, and I do like all the normal stuff. I hit up Gone Wild. I hit up Busty Petite. I hit up pretty much all the normal stuff. NSFW videos, Homemade XXX.
Extras with 3 X's.
Yes. Thank you, Sean Miller. Hashtag more Miller. So everyone pretty much knows that already, but here's what you might not know. I always want to find somebody I know. Like, that is, mm-hmm. I feel like that is winning the motherfucking Gone Wild lotto, mm-hmm. is like to like click on a link and be like, holy shit, I know her. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, that's amazing. Like, because that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. I've been on Reddit doing this for 3 years, and I feel like I've gotten close, like, one time where it's like, that could be this person that I'm thinking of, but probably not. I found somebody. I found somebody on Reddit that I know. I found somebody. And it is me. I found myself in a photograph, an NSFW photograph on Reddit. And let me describe the photograph for you. I'm going to post it in the show notes. You better fucking believe it. So if you have never gone to the show notes, you need to go to the show notes for this.
I hope to see a big spike in our web traffic to our website today.
I'd say you could probably do it at work. Maybe. I'll describe
the photograph. Turn your Wi-Fi off, look at it on your phone. It won't take much data.
I'll describe the photograph to you so you can decide. Okay, background, yellow room, ornate. I would describe it as ornate.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Are you going to say what the room is at some point, or are you just going to describe it?
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there, maybe. Okay, so yellow room, banquet tables with wine glasses on them. A woman wearing a black dress, kind of sticking her belly out, and her dress has some mysterious, what looks like maybe it could be a facial cleanser on her dress. Then in the background, there is a dude with glasses holding a Diet Coke, looking in a completely different direction. That's me. So I clicked on. I was so surprised when I opened it because the link was called "After a Trip to the Restroom" and a subreddit called "Come on Clothes." So that's the next thing that you learned about me today is that I subscribed to a subreddit called "Come on Clothes."
Yeah, because you sent me this image and you just kept saying NSFW subreddit. Yeah. I was like, "You gonna tell me what this is?" And like you didn't want to tell me, but.
Well, I mean, eventually. I feel like you're exaggerating the truth a little bit. It's not like I was hiding it from my daddy or anything.
Well, this was not something on your sexual map that you were totally ready to reveal to me as of yet, maybe.
I don't like to reveal anything on my map to you sexually because I never know when it's going to come up. But the Come on Clothes subreddit is a subreddit mm-hmm. where people... will come on clothes that someone else is wearing and then take a photograph of it and then post it on the internet for everybody to see.
I don't think that's like bad at all. I think that's totally kosher. That's totally like
it's in the Jewish faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
So never in my life did I expect to find me on NSFW subreddit. I immediately sent you the link, Tyler, to verify. Like, please tell me I'm not crazy. Like, this is me, right?
And I just looked at the girl for a long time, and I was like, "What is she showing off?" And then it takes me a while. Like, I'm running while I'm doing this, so I have my phone up in front of me while I'm running down the road. Just like, all right, man, she's pretty hot. What is she? Oh shit. And I pinch and zoom. Yeah, that's Dave in the background right behind her.
I sent Nikki a text and I said, "Hey, I just found myself on an NSFW subreddit. This is not a drill." She freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
She freaked out a little bit. And when she got home and I showed her, she laughed. And I said, "Do you really think, like, if I found myself in some kind of compromising situation on Reddit that I would fucking bring it up like that?"
Yeah. It was like, you probably, there was the best to be like, "You know what we need to quit? Reddit." Yeah. We're strictly a Pinterest family now.
So I think I'm trying to pinpoint where this was because I don't know. And I haven't like checked for geotagging or anything like that. But I think that this was in the governor's mansion in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Because
you were wearing your tux. So I was like, "Well, is this the governor's ball we went to with Miller?"
I don't think it was that. And I don't think it's my tux. I think it's just a black jacket. But it is the company that I work for in Lexington. I did this. We made over the lieutenant governor's mansion in Frankfurt. And so because of this, we were going to Frankfurt a lot and dealing with the governor and mainly the First Lady of Kentucky. And when everything was finished and unveiled, there was like a ceremony. And I'm pretty sure that this is where this happened because I have never been in a house like that ever before, unless maybe this was when I was sleepwalking through the fanciest orgy in the land.
Because it was a eyes wide shut kind of house.
But man, I still like, I've been looking at that photo at least once a day since I found it, just laughing because it's hilarious to me that like this is going on and then like I'm just like, I'm just holding the Diet Coke. Like everyone else around is like holding wine and like they look like they belong there.
Yeah, unbeknownst to you, 10 feet away, yeah. Some dude was jerking off on his girl under the table.
Unbeknownst to me, 10 feet away, some shit I was definitely more into than the thing I was there for was happening. Meanwhile, I'm just standing there in the background like an idiot holding a Diet Coke. Like, The woman with the cum on her dress looks like she belongs here more than that guy in the background holding the Diet Coke.
Did you comment on the thread?
Okay, that's what I really wanted to ask here. I feel like I want to comment on the thread, but I don't know if I should. I don't know if I should comment because my thing is I don't want to ruin their good time, but you know, I don't want to ruin that couple's thing because that I feel like that's a shitty thing to do. But at the same time, I do kind of want to have fun with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if I should comment or not. I don't know. You should
come on your iPad, come on the iPad of the picture of that, and then repost that, say, from the guy in the background.
Finally, a photograph of myself I could jerk it to. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm curious if anyone listening has had experience with this before and knows how I should respond. Should I comment? Should I not comment? Let me know, because I really do want to comment. And I'm like, I'm going like through, it's been 3 days. So like the longer I wait, the less impactful it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking.
They'll get that alert message though, that somebody commented on their well, post.
I'm worried as soon as I do, it's going to vanish.
Probably will.
And I don't want to do that because it's like, I do think, like, I want them to keep doing the thing that they're doing.
Did you look at their history? Like, are their faces in anything?
I did look at their history. There's not much out there. Mm. So I don't know if this was like, which made me kind of believe that, okay, they really don't want people to, like, know what this was that they did this thing at.
Well, they're like, you probably don't want to say their username.
I don't.
But their username makes it seem like they're not too
young.
That they don't care. Their username is kind of telling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're proud of where they did it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I think they're definitely proud of where they did it. But what I'm concerned about is, like, I don't want to get somebody fired from their government job.
Yeah, because then.
But whatever, I'm going to post a photo in the show notes. I mean, that is for real happening.
Yeah. I mean, you're in it.
Right, exactly. Does anyone want an 8x10 glossy?
You can send that picture to the patent office and trademark your own image.
That's gonna be my promotional photo. Like, if I need one ever in the future, that's gonna be my Tadpog promotional photo. Like, in years from now, of course, when we're famous for doing this, 30 years from now, and we've had a really big rift from our creative differences in the show. When I'm
you wouldn't have come on more clothes, and I was like, no one can see that, Dave. Oh, you don't stop me.
We can't afford all these clothes. What are you doing?
I only change clothes once a month, Dave.
But anyway, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses that just encapsulated what this game is all about, what kind of glasses would that be?
I would give it, again, a little different, 2 glasses full of Crystal Pepsi.
Okay. All right.
Because
those,
like,
are glasses.
Yeah, they are glasses.
So this is the last episode, right? Like, we've run out of shit to talk about.
It's amazing that over the development of this podcast, beards have turned into just, like, I don't know, sweaters. And glasses are various forms of helmets. It's like, it's a helmet with a visor on it. But it's a helmet that has the horns with the thing, and it's like, those are the glasses.
You figured me out.
It's going to come down to, what kind of glasses would you give him? All right, stay with me, folks. You know those rocking chairs that you see out in front of Cracker Barrel? It's the glass in the windows behind those rocking chairs at Cracker Barrel. And when a little kid looks through them and sees all the cool shit in Cracker Barrel, he really wants...
Something I would do.
He really wants
something I would do.
He really wants that slide whistle, but his mom won't buy it for him because he knows it'll be too loud in the house, and his dad's gonna get super pissed and take it away from him. That chair, the car that's parked in front of that chair, has a rear view mirror on it
Okay, that's enough.
I think I honestly think that we should just you should just edit the last 4 minutes of this episode and then just release that as the episode.
Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi
had a lot of buildup and then just died. Had a lot of promise, this Crystal Pepsi. And you've got two glasses of it, and you don't like the first glass is okay, the second half is not good.
Oh, okay. But you have to drink it.
You have to drink it.
Yeah, what's unless you're me.
And what's that's the perfect analogy, too.
At the time, it was awesome. I worked with a whole bunch of cool people.
Yeah, you had the dream job for a high schooler.
Oh, it was great. It sure as fuck beat bussing tables at the Olive Garden for minimum wage.
Or cooking in the back of Chong's.
Yeah, for minimum wage. Below minimum wage, actually.
Ugh.
Yeah. For the first 90 days, she could pay you below minimum wage.
You heard it here first. Is that legal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For training pay, you can get paid like $2 below minimum wage. Yeah.
Well, compared to that, this job was really awesome. Compared to any other job I've ever worked, it's awesome. Essentially, I would sit at a desk, and when customers had problems or needed their internet set up, they'd just call in, and we would help them out with that shit. The upside of that is there were a lot of times where people weren't calling, so there's a lot of downtime where we'd just play fucking video games and watch anime and, you know, other stuff. But so this place was great, and I remember, well, this whole week, people were having problems with their paychecks. Like, everyone's getting shorted on their paychecks. And I got mine, and I opened it up, and it was for $10,000. And for a moment, I thought, I'm 17 years old. $10,000 sure is a lot of money. But I decided to tell my boss anyway.
Mm.
And when I went in his office, I was like, hey, man, I got a problem with my check. And he's like, I know everyone has a problem with their check. I was like, no, I think you really want to see this.
Well, I was like, you have a problem with my check. I don't have a problem with my check.
I mean, did you at least look up, like, as a minor, if you went ahead and just cashed that shit, what they could do to you?
Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I didn't, and I'm already ready to ask Nicole, because Nicole will know, what would have happened if I cashed that check, Nicole?
She'll know all about paycheck law and probably bird law, you know.
Bird law.
I like to think that it was just a test, that everyone who worked there at one point in time got a check for $10,000. It's just like a loyalty test.
Pretty sneaky, says.
We got Miller back.
I'm here.
Of Populous fame.
Everybody loves Sean Miller.
And Pilot Wings fame. I'm here. I'm back. I have to start off with one thing real quick. As Tyler alluded to in the last episode, there was some slander, slanderous things said about me about 4 weeks ago or so, 5 weeks maybe.
I mean, it was really ongoing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a pretty ongoing tadpog joke that apparently I've attended every prom in the state of Kentucky since I was in, like, middle school.
Since 1992.
At least the Jackson Burgess area.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not Superman, for God's sakes. I can't be everywhere. That is absolutely untrue. I went to prom the first year after I went to college. But so as you don't think that I'm a good person, the person I went with was my best friend, and still my best friend to this day, oddly enough, his ex-girlfriend of like a month. She had nobody to go to prom with because they broke up. And she was like, oh, I can go with you. You're safe. You're not going to try anything.
You're safe.
Towards the back of my mind, I'm thinking, she's got great titties. This is going to work out for big guy. It did not work out for this guy.
I'd rather it sound good and be a pain in the ass than it sound not great.
Okay.
You can just play it, and I will just assume that I, based on context clues, what the calls are about.
I like that idea. It's like a fun game.
Yeah. I think people enjoy it.
I mean, we've done worse things on this show.
Or you could send me. Are they on Google Translate or whatever? You know where you get the
is who on the, Google Translate?
Sorry, you said you have a call. So is it?
Oh, it's going to be a live call. It's going to be Tyler's father.
Yep.
Gotcha. For like the last month, he's like been asking me, when are you going to do your thing? When are you going to do your thing?
When are you going to donate on Patreon, Dad?
That's funny.
You got to pay to play, Pops.
You want airtime? Give us your money.
That's right.
Are you ready to go? You going to do this? Do this thing?
Anything else we need to talk about before we start?
I just want to make sure that you're showing up in the waveform. Tyler, you see him?
Say something like,
boo, boo, boo.
Yep.
How big is it compared to ours?
About the same.
Okay, good. You're the same bigness as us, Blake.
Yeah. And I'm actually a grower, not a shower, so just wait.
You too, huh? Yeah, wow. I use that one a lot.
It's our curse.
That'll be our intro. We all have the same style, model, make of penis.
Oh, are you the same?
White grower and uncircumcised.
Wait.
I am circumcised, just for the record.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't have a heathen dog penis like my son does.
We should have saved this. This would have been good.
We're recording.
We are recording.
Yeah. But, man, yeah. Phew, I hope Henry doesn't hear that if Tyler uses that as a stinger. I made that decision for you, son. I thought it was the right thing. I often miss my foreskin.
Had Kenna been a boy, I would have not wanted to circumcise.
Are you serious?
Him. Yeah.
No, see, when Owen was born, I was like, I kind of want his penis to look like my penis. Is that weird?
I think it is weird.
That's why I didn't do it. Because, like, actually, I was kind of on the fence. And then I just happened to hear Dan Savage talk about it. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, he mentioned that he's like... He said, ask yourself if you think it's weird that your son's penis wants, that you want your son's penis to look like yours. And seriously, I asked myself that. Okay. And I was like, man, that is kind of weird. Because I bet that hurts a lot. Mm-hmm. And
you can't remember.
You can always go back and do it later. You can't reattach the foreskin.
Right. And that was my other thing. I told Nikki, I was like, I don't know. If he gets to college and like no one will blow him. Right. Then, I mean, I'll feel bad, but at least he could be like, all right, cut this shit off. But
yeah, but he's not going to, right? Like, no one, like, no one in their right mind chooses that if they're like, as a mature decision. You're like, no, cut it off.
I know I wouldn't.
No, hell no.
No, there's no way I would. So, I don't know. Hopefully, he's not really pissed at me. I kind of feel like it's one of those things where it's like, it could go either way. I think it could go either way.
Do you ever feel like he's already pissed about it now?
No.
And like when he's throwing a fit, like it's because of that?
No, I don't. It's usually just because it's like, I just feel like I'm a negligent father.
my kind of go-to line is like, I know I'm screwing you up. I will pay, I'm sorry. And I will pay for counseling. When you get older.
That's I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to start telling Henry that, so I can feel I can feel like that way I can feel like I can make mistakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody does, right? Like, there's no guidebook, so
I've done perfectly so far.
he has actually
batting 1,000. Mm-hmm. That's a sports reference
for a bad baseball one.
Baseball, right?
It's at that time I trimmed Kenna's fingernail and made her bleed.
Hey, I think everyone does that to their kid.
I haven't done it since. I did that one nail that one time, and I was like, nope, this is your job, Meg. Not doing this again.
See, Nikki did it, and she was like, you have to do this from now on. I was like, fuck no. Look what you – I'm not doing that to him. We need to maintain – one parent needs to maintain a good relationship with this child. You've botched it, so you're stuck doing it.
I make Lorbeth do it, and then I just make her feel like shit when she.
So we have similar parenting styles, you.
Yeah, me. Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm gonna grab a drink of water real quick.
All right.
I was at church during my D&D session, and it was a break, and I was like, I gotta talk to Lorbeth. I'm gonna go pee in the backyard. And one of the guys was like, I pee in the back, and everyone just looked at him like he was crazy. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you pee in the backyard?
Like in this.
How did you
fully furnished?
How many sessions have you done in your game?
We just finished up the fourth. Yeah, four sessions in. And it's going well, I think. It's preparing a session, like knowing how much to prepare and which details to kind of have, you know, at least kind of a rudimentary idea of where it might go is the hardest part. A couple of times I've found myself, you know, nowhere where I expected and kind of trying to figure out stuff on the fly and like putting putting encounters together on the fly. And so it really just results in me just lying about everything.
No,
I roll the dice so they think that things are fair, but it's really just me making shit up.
Yeah, that's honestly my favorite. That's my favorite thing about running games. it really is. And it's like either that or having a mod that spells like everything out.
The past two sessions, I found a really cool Pathfinder mod, the Skinsaw Murders.
Sounds cool.
I incorporated a part of that, and it worked really well.
Is it like a serial killer thing?
Yeah. It's a haunted house.
Okay.
I was kind of out of content for them, and like they got to this place where they got kind of like a most wanted board.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, there's this and this, and there's a monster house. And instead of going with the story, uh-huh, with the main quest, they're like
yeah, monster house.
Monster house. Yeah. And so I was like, shit. And we still had probably an hour and a half to go. And so I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't have Monster House ready. And so instead, I had them get ambushed by a couple of people on the way there and almost TPK'd them with two low-level rogue-type characters and then just made up a bunch of shit to get me to the next session.
5e rogues are fucking brutal at any level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sneak attack is harsh. If you can get it off.
I feel like all 5e classes are bursty. They're really bursty because and I think a lot of that comes out to like initiative too, because in my group, I know like if they win initiative when they were first level, it didn't matter what they were going up against in the Lost Mines of Phandel, where they were fucking killing it until they got to Clarg. When they got to Clarg, it was like, it doesn't fucking matter. It does not matter when you go, everyone's going to be unconscious.
Yeah. We're coming up to the end of the mod. And the mod, you're supposed to win the fight against the kind of big bad evil guy. But he has paralysis if he hits you with one of his claws. So I think I'm just going to knock them all out and then kind of have him disappear and he'll come back later.
Yeah.
So because I want them to understand that they can die. So I don't want them. I think I'm gonna teach them a lesson right here at the beginning that like there is content above their level and they need to be aware of that. So
we'll talk a little bit and I'll text my dad.
Call your daddy.
Come in with jokes.
Call your daddy. I'm gonna ask him about Krampus. I am.
Okay.
How does he feel about the movie?
Damn it, Blake. That's what I'm gonna ask him.
Okay.
Damn it.
I didn't know if that was the joke.
Because I'm hoping he doesn't know about it. And then
surely not.
And then
surely
we can then we can tell him all about it. He's not going to be able to hear us to the board though. So yeah, don't do that. That thing where you make it sound awful. Don't do that. It's because of all our adapters we've got on that cord.
So depending on when he calls us, it'll either be the stinger
or actually in the show. Yeah. He might be asleep.
I mean, he called me just 20 minutes ago. But yeah, he could have already been asleep by now.
He probably just dumped a load in your mom and
see, if I knew that was an actual thing he might have done, I might be like, oh, Blake, but no he didn't. No, he
really?
Did not.
Are you sure? You're 100%?
I do not think they've had sex in like years.
All right. I'll ask him about Krampus. Tyler, you ask him if he dumped
when's the last time
lap?
You dumped a load? Because I remember when we were on the cruise, like I mentioned to mom, like, well, I guess Ryan can stay in our, room sometimes so you and dad can have a night together. Mom laughed and said, "We've been married a long time, Tyler. Don't worry about that." I was like, "Oh, you poor woman." Okay. And I imagine my dad sort of like Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z. Like, he fucked Bulma once, but most of them he's like, "No, I have to do other things. I have to train. I have to get stronger. I don't have time for sex. I'm too manly."
I also, every time I see your dad, I also think about Vegeta.
Yep. I mean, my dad gets Super Saiyan and his mustache get all tall and blonde.
He just oozes. Just oozes so, Vegeta.
Vegeta-ness.
But you're putting it all on your dad. You think your mom is a passionate woman who needs more, but your dad is the holdout.
I bet mom doesn't care either way and just dad just doesn't give a shit.
Oh, God. Hey, guys, let's make a pact right now.
Mm-hmm. All
right. If we get there, we each kill each other.
Whew.
I don't want to live in that world.
You don't now.
No.
You don't now, but I mean,
I do think out of
maybe one day you will.
Out of our entire combined circle of friends, I think we are the three people most likely to not have that happen too, though.
Okay. Go on.
I mean, you're probably right.